So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, entitled Transcendental Knowledge, text 13, 38 and 39, page 237. I'll read 38 and we'll chant 39. Ahi jnanena sadvisham pavitram iha vijate tatsayam Yoga samsira siddha kalena mani vindati. Translation: in this world, there is nothing so sublime pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. One who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. Purport: when we speak of transcendental knowledge, we do so in terms of spiritual understanding. As such, there's nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Ignorance is the cause of our bondage, and knowledge is the cause of our liberation. This knowledge is the mature fruit of devotional service. When one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he need not search for peace elsewhere. For he enjoys peace within himself. In other words, this knowledge and peace culminate in Krishna consciousness. That is the last word of Bhagavad Gita. Text number 39. Sarvau labhate jnanam tatpara samyuktendriyaha Yanam labhva param stratim Achive adha vigachati Sarva labhate jnanam Tatpara samyatendriya Yanam Ladva param satim achire dagachati. Someone else. Word for word. Sharavam, a faithful man, labhate, achieves, jnanam, knowledge, tatpara, very much attached to it, samyata, controlled, indriya, senses, jnanam, knowledge, madhva, having achieved, param, transcendental, shantim, peace, achirena, very soon, adigachati, attains. Translation and purport by the language A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge, seduces senses, is eligible to achieve such knowledge. Having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. Please repeat. A faithful man is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and seduces senses, is eligible to achieve such knowledge. And then when he achieved it, he quickly attains supreme spiritual peace. Purport. Such knowledge in Krishna consciousness can be achieved by a faithful person who believes firmly in Krishna. One is called a faithful man who thinks that simply by acting in Krishna consciousness he can attain the highest perfection. This faith is attained by the discharge of devotional service and by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, which cleanses one's heart of all dirty things, of all material dirt. Over and above this, one should control the senses. A person who is faithful to Krishna and controls the senses can easily attain perfection in the knowledge of Krishna consciousness without delay. Om Agyanata Vamdasha Janatana Sakara Sakshu Limitam Jena Tadmei Sinyore Namaha Sri Chaitanya Vinobhiskam Tapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tanti Swapanantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yata Parakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sha Sri Rupam Sagrita Sagana Garanatam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Krishna Saitam Krishna Saitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Panam Sagana Vaita Sri Vishakam Vikam Cha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapade Gopisha Gopikanta Radha Kanta Narasute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radha Vrindavanishwari Vishwanu Sute Devi Kermani Hari Priye Panchako Bhattu Yascha Kipa Sindhu Evacha Kainam Bhav Nilo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation once again, a faithful person who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and seduces the senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge. Having achieved it, he quickly attains supreme spiritual peace. Now this chapter is chapter 4 called Transcendental Knowledge. And these last verses are a summary of what is transcendental knowledge. So transcendental knowledge means to understand that we're a spirit soul, we're not this body, and Krishna is the Supreme Personality Godhead, and we have a relationship with Krishna. This is called Sambandhan Gyan. So this is described in the last verse, that this is mysticism, or which means a person who's seeking connection with God. And it says it can be attained by mature fruit or in due course of time. So Krishna consciousness is a gradual process. It's not something that one day you're going to be fully Krishna conscious. It's take many years or even lifetimes to become Krishna conscious, because we've been in the material world since time immemorial, and being covered by the modes of passion, ignorance, and therefore we've been searching for happiness in the material world in the wrong direction. So here, transcendental knowledge is spiritual knowledge. And it said in the last verse, it is sublime or most exalted. There's many universities in the world, many schools in the world who are teaching people what they call knowledge. But their knowledge is only about material, mundane things. Therefore, it doesn't make people happy. And it doesn't relieve the suffering that one experiences in this material life, material body. So, Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita. In this chapter, he described how he spoke to the sun god 120 million years ago. And Arjuna, he said, both you and I were there, but I can remember, but you can't. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is Tu Bhagavan Sayam. He's the all-knowing, all-cognizant. There's definition of Krishna, or definition of God, is the one Supreme Person. No one is equal to or greater than Him. Many times people would come to Srila Prabhupada and say, can you show me God? Srila Prabhupada, one time Prabhupada pointed the picture of Krishna and he said, this is God. But you have to be qualified to see God or understand God. It says in the Nectar of Devotion, Tata Sri Krishna Namadi Navavedriyam Indriyai Seva Mukahi Jiva Do Swayam Eva Svratyada. Because Krishna's form, quality, pastimes, etc., are all on the absolute platform, material senses cannot therefore appreciate them. When a Christian conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using his tongue to chant the holy name and taste the remnants of the Lord's food, the hunger is purified, and one gradually comes to understand who Krishna really is. The Krishna book and the prayers were by the personified Vedas. The question is raised that if Krishna's name is spiritual, Namatintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, that Krishna's name, form, qualities, everything about Krishna is spiritual, so then how is it possible for us to chant with mundane tongue, mundane senses? How is it possible for us to chant in Krishna's name and get the spiritual benefit? So it's not possible to chant the holy name of Krishna with contaminated senses. We have to have purified senses. Shetu Darpana Marjanam. I mean, by chanting the holy name, one's heart becomes cleansed. It's like the mirror. You can have a mirror and it's full of dust, so you can't see anything in the mirror. But there's no defect in the mirror. The defect is the dust. So if you cleanse away the dust from the mirror, then you can see clearly. So in the same way, we've been covered in the material world since time immemorial, trying to enjoy in so many different species of life. And that's why we cannot understand the true nature of the holy name of the Lord. But we continue to chant the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gradually, it says, one will develop a taste for the holy name. Of course, there's 10 offenses which must be avoided while chanting the holy name. So, if we're chanting namaparad or offensive, chanting and committing offenses in the namaparad stage, then there's we're only chanting a semblance of the holy name. It appears that the alphabets, the letters of the alphabet, H-A-R-E, K-R-S-N-A. But if we become purified and come to the stage of Namabhas, which is like in the morning time when it's dark, when we first wake up, it's dark, gradually it starts to get light, but you don't see the sun. Gradually it gets light and then you see the sun. That is Namabhas, the clearing stage. And from the stage of Namabhas, one can begin experiencing ecstatic symptoms when one chants the holy name. And then from Namabhas, one can chant Shuddhanam, or the pure name. And the symptoms, transcendental symptoms, will be there. We see this in the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he was in Navadvip, the first part of his life, he acted like a pandit or a learned scholar. And he would challenge everyone and defeat everyone. And everyone thought he was very proud. But then he went to Gaya, met Ishwara Puri, and took initiation from him. Then when he came back from Gaya, he started exhibiting ecstatic symptoms, and he started his Sankirtan movement, or the chanting the holy name, congregational chanting the holy name. So Mother Sachi was seeing all these symptoms on the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and she didn't understand what was going on. And the neighbors and other people came and thought that Mahaprabhu had a wind disorder. And Prabhupada says that there's 52 different kinds, or 54 different kinds of airs in the body that move around in the body. And when there's an imbalance in the airs, then someone may seem to be crazy or get some disease. So they thought Mahaprabhu had contacted some disease. So they told Mother Sachi, you should bind his hands and legs, keep him in one place, rub Vishnu oil on his head, and can give him green coconut water to drink. Then Shivas Thakur came to the house of Mahaprabhu and saw Mahaprabhu, and he recognized that Mahaprabhu was not suffering from a wind disorder, but he was exhibiting ecstatic symptoms, or Mahabhav, or Prema, highest form of love of God. And he told Mother Sachi, you need not worry, this is not some problem. And Srivas said, I wish that I could also have this disease. So in this way, Mahaprabhu is the non-different Radha Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Narayana. He's the combined form of Radha and Krishna. But he came in the Kali Yuga as a Chana avatar, or the hidden incarnation. And he plays the role of a devotee, Bhakta avatar. So while he was playing the role of a devotee, he also at different times showed his identity to his different devotees and showed different forms of Godhead, his Swaram form or Sadbhu's form, or Swaram as Nrisimhadeva, form as Raha, to prove that he was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he came, he was golden complexion, he wasn't blackish, because he was in the mood of Srimati Radharani, and he wanted to experience what Srimati Radharani experiences in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. So it's very important to note in this verse, that in this purport, that Srila Prabhupada says that over and above chanting Hare Krishna, one must control his senses. And although the Yuga Dharma for this age is chanting the holy name, still to get the full benefit of chanting the holy name, you have to control your senses. So Rupa Goswami says, Upadeshamrita Vacha Vegam Manasakroda Vegam Jiva Vegam Udhara Pasta Vegam Etam Vegam Yo Visha Viheta Dira Sarvam Apimam Pitivim Sashisha. A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, urges of tongue, belly, and genitals, is qualified to make disciples all over the world. Then he says, Adyahara prayasyascha prajalpo nimagraha janasangasya chayoyam cha sadbir bhakti vinashati. One's devotional service is spoiled, becomes too entangled in the following six activities: eating more than necessary, or collecting more funds than required, over-endeavoring for mundane things but that are very difficult to obtain, talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters, practicing the rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures, working independently or whimsically, associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness, and being greedy for mundane achievements. So this is a very important instruction. When they printed the first printing, Upadeshamrita, they printed 2,000 copies. And Srila Prabhupada said you should print 10,000 copies and you should distribute this book to everyone. But the basic instructions are there, and gradually goes to the highest instructions, the highest rasa, which is that one should Living Radha Kun, it talks about Radha Kun, Shama Kun, as being the highest form of Krishna consciousness, or the example of the gopis. They were simple cowherd girls, simple girls, but they had the highest form of Krishna consciousness. Their only interest was to serve Krishna and please Krishna. So one time, Krishna had a headache, and he told Narada Muni, "I need some peat dust. This is the only thing that will cure my headache, and I have to have it very soon, before 5 o'clock. So Narada Muni, "Well, I can't give my peat dust. That would be an offense." So he went to the queens in Dwarka, said, "Krishna has a headache. Give it some peat dust." They said, no, we can't give our feet dust. Well, then we'll go to hell. It'll be an offense." But then he went to the gopis and said, "Krishna has a headache. We need some feet dust." And the gopis said, "Well, then take as much as you want." And Narada Muni said, "But you may have to go to hell for this." And they said, "We don't care. If Krishna's happy, if our unhappiness makes Krishna happy, then we're happy." So they were showing that the how to be totally surrendered, a surrender to Krishna. And although this was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified the activities of the gopis, even though he was a sannyasi and he never associated with women or had anything to do with women, but he understood the nature of this of the gopis and the nature of Krishna's pastimes. So the six Goswamis in Vrindavan were considered the foremost associates of Mahaprabhu. And it says that I offer my respectful obeisance unto the six Goswamis, namely Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are engaged in chanting the holy names of the Lord and bowing down in the scheduled measurement. In this way, they utilize their valuable lives in executing devotional service. They conquered over eating and sleeping, and were always meek and humble, enhanced by remembering the transcendental qualities of Krishna. So they conquered over eating and sleeping. It means they had full control of their senses. So here we say, we chant before prasadam saira vijajal. The tongue is most voracious and difficult to control. Not only the tongue, but also the mind is also very difficult to control. But the devotees, we can control our tongue by only accepting food that is offered to Krishna and nothing else. And even the demigods, they perform sacrifice to Narayan, and then they take the remnants, which is prasadam. They also eat prasadam. And so devotees should be careful. Prabhupada warns that we should not eat in restaurants, we should not eat on airplanes or hotels, or because if you eat food cooked by non-devotees, especially grains, you will make your mind wicked, to have a negative effect. So the devotees are controlled that when you, if you ever fly in an airplane, they have a schedule where they have to feed the passengers every so many hours. So people in this age of Kali Yuga don't know anything about sense control, and whatever they bring, people eat, and they don't even know anything about cleanliness. After eating, they don't even wash their hands or wash their mouth. But devotee, we say, no, we can't eat this food. If you can give us something simple, some fruit or something, that we'll accept. Because there's no karma in fruit, and you can offer in your mind and take fruit. But we won't eat anything that's cooked by non-devotees. Even if it's vegetarian, we won't take it. Of course, in an emergency, Prabhupada told people on the library party that in India, in an emergency, they could eat food cooked by non-devotees as long as it was pure vegetarian, no meat, fish, or eggs, or no onions or garlic. So in an emergency, you may have to do that, but as a general rule, you don't have to do that. We only eat food that we prepare ourselves, or temple prasadam, or a temple restaurant, or we bring our prasadam if we're traveling somewhere. So this is very important that the tongue be controlled. By eating Krishna prasadam and talking about Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes, is the essence of all advice. We want you to hear about name, form, quality, pastimes of Krishna 24 hours a day. This way, we can utilize our tongue in the proper manner. And the urge to speak, one has to tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands. We know that the mind is fickle, very flickering. Chantulam himam mana krishna pamasi malavad riham dashaham nigraham manye vayur iha sudduskaram. For the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, very strong, O Krishna. To do it, I think, is more difficult than controlling the wind. So if you want to control your mind, it's more difficult than if you put your arms out and try to control the wind. It's not possible. Or it's like trying to hold a tiger by its ears. So the mind is the uncontrolled mind is our worst enemy. The controlled mind is our best friend. Because if we control our mind, then we can think of Krishna and not be distracted. So the tenth offense of the holy name is to be inattentive while chanting. If you're inattentive while chanting, all the other offenses are included there. So the one has to try our best when we chant japa. This is the time we set aside in the early morning hours to chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then we should chant and try to not be distracted by our mind. The mind wants to think of past, present, and future. But when we're chanting, we should just concentrate on the mantra and try our best to not listen to our mad mind. For the past lay sleeping, and the future, no matter how great may seem, how bright our future is, no future may not be bright. We don't know. So the mind is always making plans for the future and lamenting from the past. But when we're chanting the holy name, we should try our best not to listen to our mind. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the yogi who is fixed on me really attains the highest perfection, transcendental happiness. He's beyond the mode of passion. He realizes his qualitative identity with the Supreme, and thus he is free from all reaction to past deeds. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. A true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees everything being, every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized person sees me, the Supreme Lord, everywhere. For wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under control of the self. So this is the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which Krishna is explaining his process of meditation or yoga. But Arjuna says, no, I can't do it, it's too difficult. So in past ages, in the Satya Yuga, they did meditation, and they lived for 100,000 years. But even sages like Vishwamrita Muni, he was meditating for 60,000 years, and Indra becomes worried. We're reading about Indra in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam. So Indra gets worried when he sees people becoming powerful and performing severe austerities. So he sent the Apsara, one heavenly damsel, to distract Vishwamrita Muni, and he was successful, and he broke his meditation and had a child. But Haridasa Thakur was tested two times. First time, he was sitting in the village and saying the holy name, and many people were coming to see him and giving him so much respect. So the landlord at that time, Ramachandra Khan, became envious of Haridasa Thakur and said, why is this man getting so much respect? I should get that respect. So he called a bunch of prostitutes. He said, you go to Haridasa Thakur and make him fall down so he won't get so much respect anymore. So one prostitute agreed. She said, I will do that. So the Ramachandra Khan said, well, let my constable or my assistant police officer go with you. And when he sees you having union with Haridasa Thakur, then he can report back to me. So she said, let me go alone first. Then your constable can come again the next night. So she went one night to Haridasa Thakur, and she said, you're a very beautiful young man. I come here to enjoy with you. Haridasa Thakur said, I will certainly enjoy with you, but one thing, I have made a vow to chant 300,000 names every day. Until my chanting is finished, I can't do anything else. So you just sit down here in front of my cottage, and when I finish my chanting, I'll certainly fulfill all your desires. But Haridasa Thakur simply chanted the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, the whole night continuously. And when morning came, the prostitute was disappointed. She went back and reported to Ramachandra Khan what had happened. So she went back the second night, and the same thing happened. And then she went back for the third time, and that time she surrendered to Haridasa Thakur and confessed that she was sent by Ramachandra Khan to break Haridasa Thakur's vow of chanting the holy name and this fame, break his fame or reputation. Haridasa Thakur said, yes, I knew you were coming and I know why you came. That man is just a foolish rascal. And so that prostitute became a disciple of Haridasa Thakur. So Haridasa Thakur was not allured. His senses were fully under control. And Haridasa Gaur was also tested a second time. In the dead night, he was sitting in one cave chanting, and the illusory energy, Maya Devi, came to him in the dead night. And she exhibited poses, feminine poses, which would bewilder the mind of even Lord Brahma. We know when Lord Brahma was on his lotus flower, and then he started creating living entities, even Lord Brahma became attracted to his daughter and started running after his daughter. So even Lord Brahma can be distracted. But Haridasa Thakur wasn't distracted. Even when Maya Devi came in the dead of night, she also came three times. Haridasa Thakur was not affected. He said, I have my vow, I have to chant my nirvans, therefore I can't fulfill your desire. And even Giriraj Swami and Juhu, Mr. N, who was trying to cheat the devotees by not giving them the land they wanted, he sent a prostitute to Giriraj. He wasn't a Swami then, but Giriraj didn't become victimized, because he knew if he had associated with the prostitute, it would have given the movement a bad name, a bad reputation. So devotees, we have to try our best to control our senses at all cases, and we should not do things which are detrimental to controlling our senses, like watching mundane things, movies, or looking at mundane things on the internet, or watching television. These things are detrimental to the devotional service, and makes our senses, agitates our senses. Or we shouldn't associate with worldly minded persons, and we shouldn't not associate with women or men who are attached to women. Only a householder can associate with his wife. Otherwise, brahmacharis, vanaprasth, and sannyasis, especially sannyasis, are forbidden to have any association with women. A sannyasi or brahmachari can talk to women only for important business, not otherwise. You see, when one takes sannyas, he's given the title Goswami. Go means senses, and Swami means one who controls his senses. So one time, Prabhupada's godbrother, O.B.L. Kapoor, came to Bhaktisiddhanta with his young wife. His wife said to Bhaktisiddhanta, I would like to have an interview with you. Bhaktisiddhanta said, no, I'm a sannyasi, and therefore I cannot meet with a woman in a private place. If you have anything to say, you can say it here in front of me, in front of the devotees. But this is sannyasi. Sannyasi has to be very strict in his dealing with women, associating with women, because sannyasis is not a light thing. If someone takes sannyas and then decides to change his ashram, go back to household life, this is condemned. In the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam purport, Prabhupada says this is shameless and abominable. And if a person takes sannyas and gives it up for sense gratification, it's compared to vantasi, or someone who eats his own vomit. And there's only one animal that does that, and that's a dog. So this is very disgusting. So not a light thing. If someone takes sannyas, then he has to live a very strict and regulated life. And so when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he was 24 years old. And Sarvabhumavadicharya said to Mahaprabhu, "You're too young to take sannyas. People don't take sannyas or shouldn't take sannyas till three quarters of life is finished, like Madhavendra Puri or Prakasananda Saraswati." And now in our movement they also say that people are not allowed to take sannyas till they're, I think, over 45 at least. But Prabhupada did give sannyas to young men who were 20 years old, and he knew they would have a hard time maintaining that sannyas order. So he said even if they couldn't maintain the sannyas order, they should still not give up the fight against Maya. They should still continue the practice of Krishna consciousness. So taking sannyas is called material suicide. So therefore, the sannyasi, he carries a danda, tree danda, means his body, mind, and words dedicated in the service of Krishna and nothing else. His whole life is just surrounded around preaching Krishna consciousness. And we have many sannyasis in our movement who are very active in preaching and spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. And it is very strenuous and very difficult in this age, in the age of Kali Yuga, when people are not interested in becoming God conscious, but people are more interested in sense gratification. So we're telling people that you have to give up meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. So one of Bhaktisiddhanta's disciples went to England, and they met one banister, one high official, and the man said, "Can you make me a Brahmin?" And the disciples told him that you have to follow the four regular principles: no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. And the man said, "Impossible." So this is the way people think. When someone becomes a devotee, the parents become very unhappy that you can't be normal. You were a drug addict, you were a womanizer, you were doing gambling, eating all kinds of nasty things, and we're very disturbed, and now you're not doing any of these things anymore. So they can't appreciate our movement. But some of the parents did appreciate our movement, but most of them didn't appreciate our movement. And when his father said, if you were working in a petrol pump, and which is one of the lowest paying jobs, that you could be doing something useful for society, but now that you're a devotee, you're useless. And a lot of times the parents would cut their children out of the will. We hear Brahmananda Gargamuni came from a rich family, and his father cut him out of the will because he became a Hare Krishna devotee. So people, they don't take the time to understand, or they don't have the ability to understand anything about Krishna consciousness because of sinful activities, especially eating meat. If you eat meat and having illicit sex and taking intoxication, then your mind will never become purified to understand anything about pure transcendental knowledge or transcendental subject matters. But this is why Srila Prabhupada started this movement, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, so devotees can live together. It says birds of a feather flock together. So if you associate with a drunkard, you become a drunkard. If you associate with a thief, you become a thief. But if you associate with devotees, then you become a devotee. So it begins with a little faith. Someone comes to the temple, associates with the devotees, get some sadhu sangha. Faith is there. His faith starts. Then he starts following the principle of chanting Hare Krishna, and he comes to the platform of Bhajana Kriya, which he takes initiation, which means he makes the vow to chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra every day and follow the four regular principles. And then he comes to the higher platform where his faith has become steady, where he comes to Nista. And when you're at the platform of Mista, that means 75% of the anarthas are cleansed away from the heart. And because we have so many anarthas in the heart, which are innumerable, that are keeping us from advancing in Krishna consciousness. Guru Krishna Prasadi by Bhakti Lata Beach. So the time initiation, the seed of devotional service is planted in the heart. And one has to be a diligent gardener. When you plant a creeper, plant a tree, you have to fence it around, otherwise the animals will destroy it. And that fencing is done by associating with devotees and following the rules and regulations. And then the creeper has to be watered. And that watering process is Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. So as we water the creeper, then there's also weeds grow along with the creeper. And these are in the form of anarthas, or unwanted things. So one has to be a diligent gardener and take out the weeds so they don't outgrow the creeper. The weeds may sometimes look like the creeper, but they're a different species and they're not the creeper. And those weeds means duplicitous dealing or fault finding or any other activity which is not positive to helping us advance in Krishna consciousness. So if one is a good gardener, that creeper can grow and grow and penetrate the material covering and go all through the Ramayoti, through Vaikuntha, and go all the way up to Goloka Vrindavan, even while we're here in the material world. And this is what we are, the goal. And here it says, if you get a person who is faithful to Krishna, controls his senses, can easily attain perfection and the knowledge of Krishna consciousness without delay. And it says, and he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. So everyone's looking for peace of mind in the material world. Bhoktaram Jagannathapasam Sarvalokam Eshwaram Sridham Sarvabhutanam Gatram Mam Janti Richati. So if you know Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the maintainer, Krishna is the friend of all living entities, well wisher of all living entities, then one can attain peace. And Krishna also says, Tesam Bhaksatata Bhaktesam Satata Yuktanam Vajitam Priti Purvikam, that I am situated in everyone's heart and I give one the intelligence to come to me. So if we're sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will help you to advance in Krishna consciousness. But we must be diligent and careful to avoid the unwanted things and only do things which are favorable to help us advance in Krishna consciousness. We have to use our intelligence. The mind is always dictating what to do this and do that, but we use our intelligence, which is above the mind. And above the mind is the soul. So we have to try to understand that we're not this body, hum brahmasmi. Everybody in the material world, they think they're their body. They think the body and the soul are the same. But the soul has nothing to do with the body. It's only because of the mode of ignorance that we misidentify ourselves as being a part of this, being this body, this bodily conception of life. So we have to give up the bodily conception of life, understand Gopi Bharata Kamala Das Das Anudas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm not a sannyasi, I'm not a Priyastra, I'm not a Brahmachari, I'm not a Brahmin, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Sudra, but I'm a eternal soul, Gopi Bharata Kamala Das Das Anudas. So this is our real identity as a spirit soul. We're not this material body, hum brahmasmi. So to realize this is not an easy thing, but if we go on chanting and practicing Krishna consciousness, then eventually we may come to understand that we're not this body, and we can attain the perfection going back home, back to Godhead, not have to take birth again in this material world and suffer repeated birth and death. There's many more things we can say, but we should understand that Prabhupada says, over and above chanting Hare Krishna, one must control the senses. So even though Harinam, 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 Evakevalo, Kaluna Sevina, Sevina Sevina, Gatir Nata, Yuga Dharma is the chanting the holy name. And it says there's no other way, no other way, no other way. But if you can't control your senses, then you'll not be able to chant the pure holy name. You'll not get the benefit of chanting the holy name. So in all circumstances, we must control our senses. Whether we're brahmachari, gyastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, applies to everyone. But especially sannyasis must have full control of the senses. Even in Vrindavan, there's 7 Goswami temples. The people in charge of the temples have falsely taken on that title Goswami. But they're not actually Goswamis, only in name, but they're not actually living the life of a Goswami. So there are many false renunciates who put on saffron to fill their bellies or for some material reasons, but they're not, can't be considered real sannyasis. A real sannyasi is one who fully depends on Krishna. Like Madhavendra Puri, he never asked for prasadam or food from anyone. Whatever came of his own accord, he ate that. If nothing came, he would fast. So he was fully surrendered to Krishna. And that's the whole idea of sannyasi, body, mind, and words, only in the service of the Lord and nothing else. So gradually, as we get older, we should try to at least come to the platform where we can take sannyas, or it gets easier to control your senses the older you get, because the older you get, the less you can enjoy like you did when you were a young man. Again, the sense things don't work. It's like having an old car. You have to, it doesn't work. You have to keep fixing it because the parts don't work anymore. So when you get old, then your senses, everything, are not as strong. Senses are compared to a venomous snake. But if you take out the fangs of the snake, it can't do any harm anymore. So the senses do give trouble, but less trouble the older you get, as long as you stay in Krishna consciousness and stay in the mode of goodness. If we allow ourselves to be degraded into the mode of passion and ignorance, then we'll have problems for our senses. But if we stay in the mode of goodness, or try to come to the platform of pure goodness, Shuddhasattva, or the Vasudeva platform, then our senses will automatically be controlled, and we'll be able to practice Krishna consciousness much easier. So our time is up. Does anybody have any questions, comments, or questions? So everyone is fully self-controlled. The living brahmachari life, very strict. Brahmacharis are not supposed to even look at women. But this is a family temple. If we're doing kirtan in the temple room, we can't help but look at women, at least for one moment or a few seconds. By the way, the preaching has to go on, and the Hare Krishna movement is expanding. We're not restricting. We allow both men and women to join our movement and give them the opportunity to become Krishna conscious in this life. No questions? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.